This is BBC Radio 4, and now the return of David Threlfall as Paolo Baldi in the first of a new series of murder mysteries for Baldi.
You don't really need to clean every day, Mrs. Reed. I can do a lot of it myself, you know.
A busy man like yourself? You don't have time, Father. And besides, a priest shouldn't have to clean his own room.
Well,
you should be spending your time praying and giving spiritual comfort.
Well, it is the 21st century, Mrs. Reed. Men have come on. Men want to take their equal part in all the chores.
Now, who told you that, Father? Well, I'll just dust along the dresser here, and then I'll be off giving you some privacy. Oh, by the way, Father Troy rang again. I want you to call him back.
Right.
Well, look at that. I haven't seen a pocket watch in years.
I came across it the other day. It belonged to my grandfather.
Oh, but you should be wearing a watch like that, Father. Very distinguished.
Well, apart from the fact that I don't wear a waistcoat, Mrs. Reed, it doesn't actually work. It hasn't worked since the day my grandfather died. 50 years ago, almost exactly, come to think of it. My father passed it on to me when I was 10. I took a fancy to it.
Uh-huh. And you say it doesn't work? Gold as well?
Mm-hmm. My grandfather had it commissioned specially, just after the Great War. A gold pocket watch, in celebration of still being alive, or so the family story goes. He was quite a character by all accounts, a notorious practical joker. Yes, he died before I was born.
And did you never try to get it fixed?
I asked my father that once and he just laughed. He said it was an omen that the watch had stopped and something about it not being repairable.
Well, I might be able to help you there. A very old friend of mine is housekeeper to Stanley Timmins. Stanley Timmins, Father.
Should that name mean something to me?
Stanley Timmins? Timmins timepieces.
Oh.
A man like you should know that. Of course, he's retired now. Uh-huh. But if anyone can fix this watch, Stanley Timmins can. Of course, he's getting on now. Mm-hmm. But he still makes clocks from his home in a very exclusive area of Dublin. The house must be worth a fortune.
Could you give me the address?
Well, I can do better than that. I'm going to visit my friend. You can come with me. Give me a chance to show you off to Agatha. That's her name, Agatha. But she always answers to Aggie.
Well, I can see what you mean about the house, Mrs. Reed. It's very impressive.
Aggie has done for Mr. Timmins for 25 years. For him and his brother, Frederick. Poor Frederick.
Do you ladies not get tired of looking after us?
What do you mean, us ladies?
Yes, can I help you?
Oh, Mrs. Reed, I wasn't expecting you.
Well, now, it's almost in the nature of a business call, Aggie. This is Father Baldi.
Baldi, yeah.
He's staying with me while he's on the... What's that thing called, Father?
Sabbatical. I'm on sabbatical at the university.
Oh, very nice.
Mrs. Reed said that Stanley Timmins might be able to help me with this.
What a beautiful watch.
It was his grandfather's. He had it made after the Great War. Stopped the day he died.
Oh, that's more common than you might think.
Oh, but would you look at me, keeping you standing here chatting at the door. Come on in.
Thank you.
I'm sure Stanley will want to have a look at this, if I ask him. And if he won't, Eddie will.
Eddie?
Stanley's son. He's in his early 50s, not married. Oh, he'd be a good catch for that lady detective of yours.
I'm afraid if you want to see them, you'll have to wait. Stanley and Frederick are having a business meeting.
Business meeting, indeed. I know a row when I hear one. Poor old Frederick was always at Stanley's beck and call. So, Deborah Orr is still on the scene, then?
Oh, that one. I'm counting the days until Stanley sees right through her. She's a little gold digger. 30 years younger than Stanley, and he can't see what she's after.
No, what can you say about men? Present company accepted, Father. There's a lot to be said for staying single.
How old are the brothers?
Well, Frederick must be in his late 70s. Stanley's 82.
Stanley, Frederick, we have visitors.
What's that?
Visitors, Stanley. It's Mrs. Reed, and she's brought a customer.
A customer?
Father Baldy.
Hello, Mrs. Reed was kind enough to point me in your direction. If you have the time, I'd appreciate it if you had a look at this.
Aggie, get some tea for Mrs. Reed and Father Baldy.
Oh, that looks interesting. Gold case, engraved, Italian.
Give it here before you drop it. Yes, nice piece. Handcrafted by the look of it. Let's have a look inside. Oh, lovely work. Get my eyepiece, Frederick. It's on the bench in the workshop.
Is it on the bench or where it should be in its case?
Eddie can give me his opinion. I've been training him up. He's my boy, Father. An adequate watchmaker, but no master.
Eddie's a grown man, Stanley. He's as good a watchmaker as you ever were, perhaps better.
Don't pass judgment on things you're ill-equipped to comment on, Frederick. He has certain skills, but the workings of the timepiece are my domain, and I say Eddie is still merely adequate. Never mind. Let's all go to the workshop. Here we are. Eddie, put that down. How many times have I told you not to touch the workings of that piece?
I was just adjusting the going train.
I'll tell you when you're ready to make those kind of fine adjustments.
My goodness, that is a very impressive grandfather clock.
Long case clock. That's only the case. That's Frederick's work. As far as I'm concerned, it's not a clock until the mechanism is in it.
Like a body without a soul.
A soul, indeed. Like a body without a heart, a ticking heart. No life in it. I'm putting the finishing touches to the mechanism. That is, if Eddie doesn't mess the whole thing up. That clock will be the crowning glory to a lifetime's work. Frederick does the woodwork.
Cabinet making!
Those beautiful marquetry panels. Those birds and flowers. It's a nice motif. William and Mary, isn't it?
Oh, you know your time period.
Father Baldy is very well read. He's a lot of time on his hands.
What's that? Is it walnut? Is it an ebony?
Yes, indeed, that's French walnut. Seasoned that myself 12 years. I remember when I bought the piece. And the dark wood isn't ebony.
Of course, the mechanism itself is the main element in any clock. Accurate to within a second a day, all mechanical. It'll all come back again, the mechanical works. This electronic stuff is all very well as a passing fad, but there's no skill in it.
Well, the hourglass makers probably said the same when you mechanical clock makers came along.
Oh, very amusing.
Oh, here you all are. I've put out the tea things in the drawing room.
Eddie, have a look at this. See if you've any talent after all my training.
I'll get that, Eggie. You take a rest.
Oh, are you sure?
Oh, very sure.
Of course, the standardisation of time is a relatively modern phenomenon.
Following on from the development of reliable mechanical clocks.
Oh, it's you.
Have I met you?
Only briefly, but I know all about you. Deborah. I'm Mrs. Reed, friend of the family.
I very much doubt it.
I've known Agatha for years.
Oh, Aggie. When you said a friend of the family, I thought you meant one of the boys, not the help.
Agatha's a little more than just help.
Not for much longer. No, if you don't mind, I know the way. Thank you.
Well, really?
Oh, so it was the railways then.
That's right. Every town and village had its own clock set locally, and local people would use that clock.
So each town had its own time?
Which didn't matter when they were all isolated, but when the railways linked them up, timetables had to be followed.
No, it wouldn't matter a jot these days. They're never on time anyway.
You have a visitor.
Stanley, how are you, darling? You are looking absolutely wonderful today. Something's agreeing with you.
Frederick and I were just talking about you, Deborah. Do you think I should make an honest woman of you?
Stanley, you old tease. Shall I get my diary?
Maybe you should. I might have some news for everybody.
Don't do this, Father.
You know nothing would make me happier, Stanley.
I might just take you up on that, Deborah. This tick in the old clock, yes?
Don't make light of serious matters, Deborah.
Only my little joke, Fred, my little joke. Although if Stanley were to pop the question...
Look, why are you doing this? Is it to aggravate me? You know what I think of this whole thing. And as for the idea of you marrying Deborah, it's grotesque.
Mind your manners, Eddie. Deborah might be your mother one of these days, and sooner than you think.
Oh, Stanley.
Well, I think it's probably time for us to go, Mrs. Reed.
Well, how can you even talk like that, you old fool? She's just after your money.
No, Eddie, don't talk to your father like that. I'm sure he'll do what he thinks is best.
Thank you so much for the tea.
He's doing what he thinks is best for himself. Don't you see, Aggie? As soon as she has him hooked, we'll be surplus to requirements.
Now, Eddie, what kind of woman do you think I am?
Well, I think that's pretty obvious.
You'd still be family, Eddie. You'd always have a home here with us.
And what about Aggie?
I'm going out to the woodshed.
Oh, now don't you be getting yourself all worked up, Frederick.
He goes out to his wood when he's upset, Father.
Well, obviously you'll have a lot to talk about, so Mrs. Reed and I'll be going.
See them to the door, would you, Aggie?
Yeah, I'll have a look at that watch for you, Father.
I'd be very grateful.
If I can spare a moment, eh, Deborah?
You old rascal.
Let me see you out.
I'm very sorry about that. Talk about mutton dressed as lamb. Oh, it's Frederick I feel sorry for. Frederick knew her first. But Stanley always had a way with the women, with his charm and his good looks.
And as the owner of the house.
But he's not a bad man, Stanley. He'll work it out before he does anything drastic. Well, goodbye now. And no doubt Stanley will be in touch about the watch.
Thank you. It always amazes me how the patterns of relationships we have in childhood can persist.
They need to watch their step with that one. She's got Stanley wrapped round her little finger.
Poor Eddie, in his 50s and still being talked down to by his own father. It is quite hard to like Stanley, though, isn't it? Hello, Paolo Baldi.
Paolo, it's Tina.
Oh, Tina.
I tried to get you earlier.
I'm just back from a lecture.
All right. It's a business matter, Paolo.
Uh-huh.
I'm at the house of Stanley Timmons.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Reed and I were there yesterday.
We know. Your name's come up as part of our investigation. There's been a death, Paolo.
Who's dead?
Stanley Timmons. He was found under a grandfather clock. Well, it had fallen on him. The weight of it suffocated him. Rin wants you down here at the house right away.
Right, now. Are we almost ready to move the body, Inspector Mann?
Nearly.
Hello.
Oh, Paolo. You made good time.
This is terrible. How's the family taking it?
The man was 82. It's not like he had much in front of him anyway. Oh,
sensitive as always, Superintendent.
Yeah, which brings us to you, Father Baldi. You have an uncanny knack of being around at this sort of thing.
Well, not by choice, I can assure you.
I don't suppose your visit here yesterday could have precipitated the murder. Perhaps you should re-examine the spiritual guidance you are giving.
How did Stanley die?
Yeah. Take him to the workshop, will you, man? Or do you already know the way, Father?
Oh, thank goodness, it's you, Father. Oh,
Aggie. Hello, Eddie.
Of course, Stanley. After all these years' service to timekeeping, his own clock falls on him.
I told him. If you're going to put the mechanism in the case, call me. But no, stubborn as usual.
I'm terribly sorry about your father, Eddie. Where's Frederick?
He's in the drawing room with Deborah.
Oh, you'd think she owned the place already.
Oh, no doubt she'd be consulting a lawyer to see whether she has any rights.
Could you all go to the drawing room? We'll need to question you.
But it's obviously an accident.
The drawing room, please.
Oh, all right then.
All right, come on, Eddie.
Thank you very much. I won't be long.
Tina, isn't Eddie right? I mean, what makes you think this was a murder?
Well, it looks like Stanley Timmons was placing a mechanism in the case which overbalanced and fell on him.
Well, that could have been an accident.
Deborah Orr doesn't think so. And look at this.
What is it?
At the base of the grandfather clock case, there's a fault in the wood, a split in the grain. All along the front, from one side to the other.
Well, wood isn't a perfect material.
The fault was at the back of the wood, not visible from the outside. The fault would have weakened the wood, but not caused it to split. But look at this. The marks of hammer blows along the front, at the point where the fault is. That was what fatally weakened the wood.
Well, if that was the case, then this is no accident.
Well, what does it look like to you?
A deliberate attempt to weaken the base of the clock so it would overbalance when a heavy weight was placed at the top.
A weight like a clock mechanism.
Hmm.
So, tell me exactly what you saw and heard here yesterday.
Oh, dear. Well, it was all a little unpleasant. Stanley had a girlfriend.
The delightful Deborah.
That's right. There was a heated discussion about whether Stanley was going to marry Deborah, something which Stanley did little to defuse, I have to say, and
In fact, if I didn't know better, I'd say he quite enjoyed it.
Who was most upset by this?
Well, I'd say his son, Eddie. He accused her openly of scheming to disinherit him.
What about his brother, Frederick?
Well, he was upset as well.
He made the grandfather clock, isn't that right?
Yes, well, the cabinet of the grandfather clock was all his work. He's very knowledgeable about wood, very skilled. The clock was going to be Stanley's masterpiece. He wanted it to be perfect.
So why would Frederick include a faulty piece of wood at the base? And who else would know where to hit the wood to aggravate it enough to cause it to fail?
Frederick was arguing with Stanley about his relationship with Deborah. Come to think of it, Aggie said something about Frederick and Deborah.
I'll go and speak to him.
So, would you mind if I had a chat with him?
Apart.
He might be more open with me.
So you can see that everyone will have to be questioned.
This is outrageous. My fiancé is lying dead.
Stanley would never have married you.
Father liked to play games with people. String them along. Face it, Deborah. Your little plan has come to nothing.
He was going to marry me. That constitutes a verbal agreement. You were there, Father, isn't that right?
Well, I didn't actually hear him say
that. I loved that dear old man. And now he's gone.
And with it, your plans to get this house.
Oh, poor Frederick. He must be so upset. I must comfort him.
Oh, moving on to the next target. You had your chance. You picked the wrong brother.
And I suppose you had no hopes of being mentioned in the will. Well, at least I'm a real woman and not a dried-up prune like you.
How dare you speak to her like that? Aggie has given devoted service to this family.
It's all right.
Aggie doesn't deserve that kind of treatment.
This isn't getting us very far. Who actually found Stanley?
Well, I brought him a cup of tea and a biscuit as usual. And that's when I saw him. Under the grandfather clock.
Was he dead when you found him?
Poor, poor Stanley. I could feel a slight pulse, but he couldn't speak.
What time was that?
About 4 o'clock.
Where were the rest of you just before that?
I was up in my room.
Doing what?
Father asked me to read a treatise on early Victorian timepieces.
He was a very thorough man, the dear. Do any of you know if he'd seen a solicitor recently?
Oh, there's a name for people like you, circling around looking to see what pickings are available.
I think you'll find that an intended promise to marry gives me a strong claim as chief beneficiary.
If Father was of sound mind and body at the time.
Oh, that's clever. But I can assure you he was sound in all his faculties.
I can see you are all devastated by Stanley's death. I'll need to interview you individually. Paolo, could you go and get Frederick?
Yes, of course.
Father, he's gone down to the wood store. He's had timber down there for 10, 20 years. When it comes to wood, Frederick doesn't care about time. Mona, I'll take you there.
Can I ask you a personal question, Eddie?
This is about how my father bullied me.
Well, yes, actually.
He was a very powerful figure. Very dominant.
But you're a grown man, Eddie. Did you never think of getting away, example?
Well, can I ask you a question? When you were a boy, what did you like doing?
The usual boy things. Reading, climbing trees, altar service, collecting things, lives of the saints.
Well, do you think that has affected the rest of your life, huh? About becoming a priest, I mean.
We're not the helpless victims of childhood experiences, Eddie.
When the timepiece is put together, the pattern of its timekeeping is set. Oh, which reminds me, Father, about your watch.
No, we're not mechanical apparatus, Eddie. We can make other decisions.
Altar service, lives of the saints, yeah? And don't you still collect things? Information? Ideas?
You don't have much time for Deborah, do you? You and Aggie have spoken about that.
Aggie is a very perceptive woman.
Yes, you were very quick to defend her against Deborah.
Ah, collecting again, Father. I have feelings for Aggie. But she's been our housekeeper so long, it's difficult for us to see any other way of being.
Does she know?
Aggie has her own feelings. Unfortunately, not for me. Father never realized. Oh, she was very careful. You know, if this family were a timepiece, Father Baldy, it'd be too complex to fix. I'll leave you to him. If you want proof, Father, that your childhood sets patterns that are difficult to change, just look at Frederick. Stanley was always big brother to him. He'd be devastated now he's gone.
Hey, Rick. Why are you in here?
At the back, by the maple. Felled 1986. Seasoned since 88. Look at the grain and the colour.
Yes, it's beautiful. You have a real feel for wood. Must have galled you that Stanley always exalted the mechanism.
The wood is the live part of the clock.
Yes, well, that's not how Stanley saw it, is it? I mean, for him, the mechanism was the live part.
Cogs and springs. Metal. It never lived like wood lived.
And weaknesses, like all live things, didn't they? The wood split along the bottom of the clock, Frederick. There was a fault.
The case was strong enough. It was a terrible accident.
Have you ever seen that sort of thing happen before? A case failing at the bottom when the mechanism is put in.
A terrible accident.
Well, I must say I was surprised when I looked at the case. That fault all along the bottom, from one side to another.
I knew about that. It was on the inner surface, not visible.
Yes, the clock was Stanley's masterpiece. It was hardly a masterpiece if there was such a major fault.
Everything that Stanley wanted, Stanley got, always. When he was a child, he got the toys and I got his cast-offs. Then he got the business, and was that enough for him? No, he got the house and the family. Do you think he deserved a son like Eddie? And then at last, I thought I'd found a bit of happiness.
Is this about you and Deborah?
It was me who first met her, you know, at ballroom dancing lessons about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. We had a good time. And then Stanley had to come along. He was patient, Stanley. I'll say that for him. But he got her in the end.
So he got the business, he got the house, and he got Deborah.
And then he wanted the perfect clock, and he thought he had it as well. But I had the last laugh. Stanley thought he had the perfect clock, but I knew that inside there was that big, lovely, ugly flaw. Where he'd never know, but I would know.
Well, of course, it wasn't the floor that broke. The hammer blows did that.
Hammer blows?
Yes, well, I don't know much about stresses, but I would say it was the blows that caused the final collapse.
I didn't know that Stanley was going to put the mechanism in so early. The case wasn't finished. Well, that was Stanley all over. No time to waste.
Paolo, are you there?
Yes.
The clock has just been lifted off the body. Perhaps you could come.
Yes, yes, of course. Frederick, would you like to come along? Make sure we take care of your brother properly.
Right, lift. Oh, you weren't joking with the weight. Well, give us a hand then, buddy.
Right. Okay.
Two or three. That's...
Right. Oh. Let's have a look then.
Poor Stanley.
What's this?
Oh, it's my pocket watch. He was wearing it.
He always insisted on wearing repaired watches for a day before they were given back to the owners. He said that a watch sometimes behaved differently on the person than on the workbench.
Well, that watch won't be working anywhere again. Smashed. Sorry, Paolo.
Well, no, well, at least we know the timing.
Yeah, well, it stopped at almost what? Exactly 4 o'clock.
Just like Aggie said.
What's that? Well, well. It looks as if your claims might be borne out, Deborah. If that's not a ring box, I don't know what is. Let me see. Ah, yes. Diamond solitaire. Does that look like an engagement ring to you, Paolo?
Well, I'll have to take your word for it.
Oh, Stanley, you foolish, foolish man.
I told you he proposed. Now you can't tell me that I don't have a claim on the house. He was killed. You said so yourself. He was killed to stop him marrying me. And who would want to do that? Who would inherit the house if poor Stanley died before he could marry me?
Me. I'd inherit the house.
I'm going to have to caution you, Mr. Timmons.
Oh, Eddie,
Say it wasn't you. Tell them. Tell me. If anyone did it, it was me. I knew that there was a weakness in the wood. Don't try to protect me.
Look, I'm not trying to protect you.
I deliberately put that weakness in the clock to make Stanley's perfect clock imperfect.
Edward Timmons, I'm arresting you for the murder of Stanley Timmons.
Looks more like manslaughter than murder to me. It's something you should discuss with your lawyer, Mr. Timmons.
It's me who's responsible. I've already explained. Eddie suffered enough. I'm to blame, not him.
No, Uncle Frederick. I did it. I'd had enough. My father was a bully. He played games with people. Stopped them doing what they wanted to do. All my life, he stopped me doing what I wanted to do. But at least I thought that in the end, I'd be free of him. And I would have the house. But then I overheard him proposing to Deborah.
Is this true?
Stanley proposing to me? Yes, it's true. But I didn't think anyone would believe me. I've tried so hard to win everyone's trust.
No, you must be exhausted. Go on.
Well, when I found that out, I waited till he'd gone out. Sabotaged the clock. Knowing that it would collapse when he tried to put the timepiece in. I called him. Said I would help. He was trying to put the timepiece in. And then I pushed it over on him.
Eddie! Does this mean I can still have the ring?
A terrible business, Tina.
Just goes to show. Age doesn't dim the passion. Quite encouraging in its own way. Hmm. Imagine putting up with that old man for all those years.
Yes, I suppose everyone has their limits, but all the same... Do you think all this was to be expected?
In what way?
Eddie said his family was like a complex watch. He secretly loved Aggie. Aggie secretly loved Stanley.
Stanley loved Deborah, witness the ring, which of course excluded Frederick, who, if you ask me, still carries a torch for Deborah.
Poor Frederick. That's what Mrs. Reed called him. Caught between his love for Deborah and his fondness for Eddie. Well, he was more like a father to Eddie than Stanley ever was.
It must be heartbreaking for him.
Yes. Yes, it all seems to fit.
There's going to be a but here, I know you.
Well, there's only one thing that worries me.
Only one thing? There's usually a catalogue.
If Stanley had proposed to Deborah, which Eddie claims he overheard...
Why did he still have
the ring?
Back to the house. Aggie, listen, is Deborah still here?
Oh, you couldn't get her out of here with a crowbar. Walking around saying, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Yes, I don't think it's quite as clear-cut as that.
How is Eddie? I mean, if he did this after years of bullying, he'd get a light sentence, wouldn't he? I mean, you hear about that kind of thing all the time. And it was a kind of an accident.
It's the fact that he left Stanley to suffocate, Aggie. That'll go against him. If he had got help immediately, that would have been different.
Oh, I see.
But I'm not convinced that Eddie was responsible. I think he's covering.
Covering?
For Frederick. I think he suspects Frederick did it. The man who was more a father to him than Stanley ever was.
Frederick? You can't think that Frederick had anything to do with this. Frederick is the gentlest of souls. He even believes that Deborah loved Stanley.
But Aggie... Frederick had motive, and he has the knowledge to carry out the sabotage. The hammer marks were directly parallel to the fault that only Frederick knew existed. We'll need to talk to him again.
He's out in the...
In the woodshed. Oh, right, I know. I'll go for him, it's all right. Look, you round Deborah up, Tina. We'll clear up this proposal thing once and for all. Frederick? Fred, are you there?
Go away. Go away, don't come any closer.
What's in it? Don't move, Fred. It's about to give way.
Oak. Solid. Dependable. Especially for a job like this.
What do you mean, a job like this?
I've left a note. When I pull this rope, the oak stack will fall. I'll be underneath it. Fitting, don't you think, that I should go the same way as Stanley?
Don't be foolish, Fred. This is no solution to anything.
You're wrong. It's the solution to everything.
Is this because you're saying that you killed your brother?
You saw the defect in the wood. That was no accident. I know my wood. I knew it would give way.
But you could equally well know that it wouldn't give way.
that it would hold, and you would have the secret satisfaction of knowing that the perfect clock was actually imperfect. That would be much more your way of doing things.
He stole Deborah from me, you know, and I let him. He made me seem weak in Deborah's eyes. He's always made me seem weak. But I'm strong now.
Frederick, there are different kinds of strength. I don't think Eddie would call you weak. You were always so strong for him.
Eddie deserves the happiness I never had. Now he's free from Stanley at last. He should be allowed to live his life. He loves Aggie, you know. She'll come to see it now that Stanley is out of the way. It's all in the letter. You'll find it on Stanley's workbench.
Are you doing this just for Eddie?
My whole life just ticking over. But Eddie has a chance.
This isn't a good end to it, Frederick.
The letter will tell everything. Eddie shouldn't go to jail for something that isn't his fault.
Put the rope down, Fred. Don't. Don't pull it.
Don't come any nearer.
I can't allow you to pull. I'm going to walk over to you now, Fred. If you pull the rope, it will bring it all down on both of us.
Well, we could wait until Paolo and Frederick get here, but we might as well make a start. Thank you for getting Deborah, Aggie.
Yes, she was counting the spoons in the good silver service.
Servants have been known to pilfer in circumstances like these.
How dare you?
Ladies.
If there was any pilfering going on, it wasn't me doing it. What about the mink stole that went missing from Stanley's first wife's wardrobe? Stole is right.
Ladies, please.
Stanley told me I could look over those things and take anything I wanted. And anyway, what were you doing in that wardrobe?
You took advantage of poor Stanley.
Ladies.
If there was anyone took advantage, it was Stanley. Surprisingly active for a man of such advanced years.
Ladies, that's enough. Act your age. I have some questions to ask about your last meeting with Stanley, Deborah.
Ask away. We were very happy together.
About the marriage proposal.
You heard, Eddie. Oh, when I think of how that man snatched happiness from my fingers.
Oh, you'd have to be very quick to snatch anything from those fingers.
I'm not going to tell you two again. The proposal.
It was very romantic. I told him not to bother getting down on one knee. Unseemly in a gentleman of his years.
Not to mention a very difficult position to rise from with any dignity left intact.
Please, Aggie, let me do this.
Not something that need ever have worried you, Aggie. Oh, I know how you felt about Stanley. All those years of secret devotion.
Oh, don't you dare.
Stanley and I used to joke about it, you know. You're as transparent as a teenager, Aggie. And as ridiculous.
To get back to the proposal.
I never abused my position here. At least I had some dignity.
So much dignity that you couldn't see that poor old Eddie was besotted with you.
What? Eddie?
There are none so blind as those who will not see. And don't tell me that you and Eddie didn't talk about me inheriting this house.
Oh, yes, we talked. But we talked about protecting poor Stanley from you.
Right, that's enough. I'm going to finish this line of questioning if it kills me. If Stanley proposed to you...
Which he did.
Let me finish. If Stanley did propose to you...
You saw the ring.
Will you let me finish? That's exactly the point. If he proposed to you, why did he still have the ring on him when he died?
What?
Well, you don't strike me as the sort of woman that would let a man propose to you, be shown a beautiful ring, and then let him put it back in his pocket. Well, Deborah, do you still insist that he proposed to you? What on earth was that?
It sounds like the woodshed.
Paolo?
Frederick.
Are you there?
Oh, what a mess.
Frederick!
Let's move that piece of timber, Tina.
Paolo, thank goodness you're all right. I thought for a terrible moment.
Tina, I am all right, honestly. Frederick's all right too, it's a bit shaky. Will you help me get him out? I'm all right, Tina.
Of course you are. I was just worried that we might have lost our star witness.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to involve you. Another 5 minutes, it would have been all over. And no one else need have suffered.
Tina, there's a letter on Stanley's workbench. Aggie, Fred might need a bit of medical attention.
Yes, of course. And what about you?
Tough as old nails, hardly a scratch.
Ow! Ow!
You may be a first aider, but it's not a gentle touch.
It's only a bit of antiseptic.
Ow, ow, ow.
Are you a big wuss, yeah?
All right, well, let me have a look at the letter then. To all concerned... By the time you read this, I will be gone. and I do not want to leave issues unresolved. First to Edward. Edward, you have always been like a son to me. I have tried to act as a loving father should, given that Stanley failed so utterly in that role. God rest his soul.
Paolo.
All right, sorry. I have long been aware of your feelings for Agatha, having had some personal experience of unrequited love. Have courage. Life is short. My hope for you is that you do not repeat the mistakes I have made. I hope my death will exonerate you from the crime of which you are being accused and be an expression of my love for you, the son I never had.
They don't write them like that anymore.
It is because of that love that I have carried out the act which brought my life to a close. I wish to state to police authorities that I, Frederick Timmons, and that I alone am responsible for the death of Stanley Timmons.
Well, that seems to be pretty conclusive.
There's a little more. I acted out of consideration for Edward's inheritance. I was at the back of the workshop when I heard Stanley propose marriage to Deborah Orr. This would have made the said Deborah Orr the main beneficiary. In order to prevent this, I subsequently pushed the grandfather clock down on my brother, Stanley Timmons.
It was all making so much sense until that. I'll call Deborah in.
For the last time, I'm telling you, he had every intention of proposing to me. Given another hour or so, and he would have. You saw the ring. He was going to propose.
Did he say that? I mean, he was the sort of man who liked to maintain control right to the end.
I said I'd be back in a couple of hours, and he said he'd make sure to check on his watch, and he was in such good form that he started to laugh. Mm. To think that that was the last time I saw poor Stanley alive.
Mm. Yes, but he only had the one watch. See, my grandfather's, which he was testing, even though he said that the watch wasn't worth repairing.
I think we need to have another word with Eddie. He was the one who worked on the watch. I'll get him released as the letter exonerates him to all intents and purposes.
And to think he had the ring in his pocket all along. Just a couple of hours.
Well, here we all are again. Very different circumstances from the last time we were all gathered. First of all, Frederick, I'm glad that you're feeling well. And we've read your final letter, or not so final as it turns out.
Yes, I think it's pretty common knowledge now that in the letter Fred says that he acted to protect Eddie's inheritance.
That's right, and I'd do it again if I had to.
Because you overheard Stanley proposing to Deborah.
Couldn't you wait a couple of hours? He had the ring.
It was right. I'm an old man and what happens to me doesn't matter.
Deborah, did Stanley propose to you?
No. That selfish, jealous brute killed him before he could do it.
Look, what does all this matter? I confessed to the crime.
Yes, and you confessed for the same reason as Frederick confessed, to protect someone. Tell me about the pocket watch, Eddie.
Well, what about it?
Well, Stanley said the watch wasn't worth repairing, isn't that right?
Stanley was an old man.
But he was sharp. Why wasn't the watch worth repairing?
It's because you did repair it. Stanley was testing it when the clock fell on him, stopping at 4 o'clock.
The mechanism was unreliable.
No, that's not true, is it? The mechanism was reliable. Yeah, I was thinking about this when Deborah told us that Stanley laughed when he said he'd keep an eye on the time by using my grandfather's pocket watch.
The only watch he had on him.
And then I started thinking about my grandfather, who was always notoriously unpunctual. So why was that? Why have a special pocket watch commissioned, always carry it around with you, and still never be anywhere at the right time? And then it struck me. The watch wasn't unreliable. In fact, it was reliable as... well, it's... it's clockwork. Master watchmakers made it, after all. But you could see that yourself, Eddie, couldn't you, when you repaired the watch?
Oh, it was a beautiful piece of work. A tribute to its makers. And, as you say, totally reliable.
How can a totally reliable watch be useless for telling the time?
Do you want to tell them, Eddie, or shall I?
Oh, the watch was completely reliable. You could rely on it 100%.
See, my grandfather, by all accounts, was a notorious joker. So what was the joke? What was it about the watch that made my father laugh about getting it fixed? Why did your father laugh? How was it reliable, Eddie?
The watch was completely reliable. But it was a joke. You're right there. The watch was designed to run on 65-minute hours, hour after hour, adding 5 minutes per hour around the clock.
It's no wonder grandfather was never on time.
When had Stanley put the watch in his fob pocket to test it?
That morning, at 8 a.m.,
I was there when he set it.
So he started it at 8 a.m. and the watch stopped at 4 p.m. 8 hours later.
8 65-minute hours later. The watch had accumulated an extra 8 5-minute periods. It was running 40 minutes over by the time Stanley died, so he actually died at 4:40.
And there was only one person who gave the time as 4, and who didn't know about the 65-minute hours.
Aggie?
I would have said, you know. I would never have let you go to prison, Eddie. Especially not now.
Oh, don't, Aggie.
You'd think a woman who had lived for 50 years would be able to see things more clearly.
What happened, Aggie?
Stanley called for me. He was working at his bench, checking the time on your watch, I think. He said that he was going to marry Deborah.
There, proof. I knew it.
And that when that happened, she wouldn't have me in the house. He said he'd give me a month's wages in lieu of notice. He didn't look at me once. Not after all those years. He didn't even look at me. And then he went out. I just stood there. And then I saw his great work, that grandfather clock. And at first I just wanted to damage it, so I took a hammer. But even then, I couldn't make myself damage the clock face. Like a coward, I banged the hammer along the bottom of the case. And then I called him and told him that I damaged his precious clock. He got up on the steps immediately. Didn't think of the case, of course. For him, the clock meant the mechanism. And then I realised that for all those years, that's all he'd been interested in. So I pulled him. He grabbed the clock. It was beginning to go and then it began to settle back. And then the bottom went and that was it. I didn't know about the fault on the inside.
But that didn't kill him, did it?
No. He couldn't move. Said the case was crushing him, that he was having trouble breathing. I said time would cure that. I saw the watch in his fob pocket and noted the time. I knew I'd be asked questions. And then I left him.
I tried to protect you, Aggie. Why didn't you just let me say it was me?
Oh, how could I do that, Eddie? When I found out how you felt and what you were prepared to do for me?
We'll have to take you in, Aggie. There's someone outside to take you to the station.
Aggie, look, there was provocation. I'm sure that will be taken into account in any sense.
Look, I'll go with you, Aggie. I'll wait for you, no matter how long it takes.
Is the ring evidence? Because technically it does belong to me.
I don't know what I ever saw in you, Deborah. You and Stanley deserved each other.
Come on, Paolo. I can drop you off on the way to the station.
Thanks, Tina.
Yeah, sure. You'd like to go for a drink, would you?
Oh, I must compile my notes for tomorrow's lecture.
All right. On which riveting topic would that be?
Well, I've decided on the use of mechanical clocks as a metaphor for universal order in the English Enlightenment of Renaissance England.
Oh, sounds like a winner.
In Tempus Fugit by Martin Meenan, the part of Paolo Baldi was played by David Threlfall. Tina Mann by Tina Kelleher, Rin by Owen Rowe, and Mrs. Reed by Margaret Darcy. Stanley was played by David Kelly, Frederick by Neil Tobin, Aggie by Sorica Cusack, Eddie by Des Cave, and Deborah by Pauline McGlynn. Baldi was created by Barry Devlin for Sarah Lawson Productions and was developed and produced by BBC Northern Ireland Drama. The script editor was Gemma McMullen. Baldi was recorded at RTE Studios in Dublin and directed by Mark Lambert.
And there'll be another Baldi mystery at the same time next week.